Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted Brewer Show with your host Ted and Austin Brewer, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Ted Brewer, and I'm so glad you are with us today. You know, it's so funny. I've been busy preparing for the show today. I've been looking at all the stuff that George Soros is involved in doing. Apparently what he's doing is he's enveloped all of these people around the planet now and in the United States, and he's doing what's called a rent-a-riot. And he's actually paid demonstrators to come in and picket these events with Donald Trump. Right now, Soros is planning a 10-day anti-Trump protest. And the article goes on to say, this is from Horn News, it says that funded by billionaire George Soros and big union thugs, that they are organizing a mob of thousands of radicals into one of the largest civil disobedience actions in American history. Their goal, march across the East Coast in the thousands and spark a fire that transforms the political climate in America by taking over the U.S. Capitol building. The new left-wing group is calling itself Democracy Spring, is receiving help for their plan of action on a historic scale from the usual suspects. Leading the charge is the noted liberal group MoveOn.org, an organization that is fully funded by George Soros and with whom he is spending tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, and recently played a key role in shutting down the Trump rally in the University of Illinois. But they're not alone. The country's largest labor union, the AFL-CIO, has announced that they're all behind the Democracy Spring. Also throwing their weight into the plan, over 115 labor unions, socialist groups, and radical leftist organizations. I warned you about this yesterday when we talked, guys. Democracy Spring's announcement plan involves meeting up for a mass protest at the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia in early April and then sending waves of protesters on a 10-day march into D.C. Once in our nation's capital, the group has announced their intention to invade the U.S. Capitol building on April the 11th with over 2,000 fellow radicals, which the MRU has announced training sessions for leading up to the protest. While they claim the intent of the protest is to return government to the people and remove special interest money, especially ironic given the participation of the labor unions, critics see a more nefarious purpose. In short, George Soros and his liberal pals are attempting to activate thousands of potential activists ahead of the 2016 election. This is interesting to me because what's happened here, George Soros is a Jew who was a collaborator with the Nazis in Germany and actually turned over his own Jewish friends and family to the Nazis to seize their assets. That's how he got the start. I personally believe he's also being funded by the Rothschild banking cartel, because anybody with this much money who lives in a wheelchair on an oxygen mask, you know, basically barking out orders to the New World Order, he got some inside pull somewhere. And the other thing that's funny to me too is that these labor groups are sitting here protesting against Donald Trump when in reality Donald Trump is trying to bring the jobs back to the United States. None of this makes any sense. They're trying their best to destroy the United States right now, destroy Donald Trump right now, destroy Donald Trump's chance. They want to bring Hillary in, who's going to be a full-blown communist, which they know what she will do when she gets in. Remember, she talks to dead people, and Doc Marquis told us that she was a fourth-level witch. I mean, a real witch who talks to dead people. They want to put one of their Satan groupies into the United States government as the president of the United States to completely bring us over into a Luciferian dictatorship. That's the goal. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They certainly don't care about the 90 million people right now on food stamps who are unemployed in the United States who they would just like to see go away. In other words, if they could exterminate them with drugs or with chemicals or with sarin gas, I'm sure they would be happy to do it. They would probably be tickling themselves if they could do it, and they would be laughing all the way to the cemetery. But, of course, they probably wouldn't go to the cemetery because they would try to pretend like they didn't do it and someone else did. Austin, do you have any comments on this?
No, I got in about halfway there, but it sounds pretty accurate what you're talking about.
Well, no, the whole thing is crazy. Another article that was quoting my buddy Howard Brown, through the Charisma magazine, he says, charismatic pastor Rodney Howard Brown, that Donald Trump is the New World Order's worst nightmare. And that's exactly what's happened here. He's not going to cave in. He's not going to play their game. He's completely and totally awake. He just holds back and doesn't talk about it on national radio or national TV. He's aware of everything they're doing to us, and he wants it stopped. And I'll say one thing for the guy. Boy's got some testosterone going on, because he's taking a really big risk with his own life and with his family by doing this and standing against this New World Order. And my hat's off to Donald Trump. I applaud him, and I'll say, well done, Donald Trump. Keep preaching the truth, and we will continue to pray God's protection about you. What do you think, Oz?
Yeah, I think you're very accurate about that. There's a lot of aspects of stuff he's talking about that, that nobody wants to address, and that's why so many people are following him. I got another new article here. This is interesting. Again, with the biotech pharmaceuticals and the GMOs and everything that's going on with these guys, another giant fraud. It turns out that non-GMO mustard seeds perform just as well as genetically modified mustard seeds, which is promoted by the industry as higher performing. The industry claims that biotech seeds is better than non-GMO seeds were completely based on fraud. They did a bunch of studies and tests on them and found that genetically modified seeds had done little, if any, to increase overall crop yields. And this just goes on to show you furthermore why I was so ecstatic this week when the DARC Act was completely turned down by the Senate on Wednesday. And what's interesting, they needed 60 votes to pass. It only received 44. But 44, guys, that's still a substantial amount of yaks in the Senate that are complete and total morons, or they're completely on the government payroll. I mean, the fact that we're even allowing anybody like this to dictate, I mean, we're allowing Monsanto, a private company, to dictate the laws of this country on what we know is in our food and what's labeled in our food. Are you joking me right now? That's how corrupt our United States government has gotten. Had the legislation passed, it would have completely prevented any states from enacting their own GMO labeling requirements. Vermont is poised to put a law just like that in effect in July. They're going to mandate that all GMO foods have to be labeled starting in July of this year. What's interesting, Bernie Sanders, who I'm not obviously a huge supporter of, however, he has discussed a few things and he's been very accurate about the GMO foods. And he went on to say after this that he's pleased that Congress stood up to the demands of Monsanto and other multinational food industry corporations and rejected this outrageous bill. He said today's vote was a victory for the American people over corporate interests. All over this country, people are becoming more conscious about the food they eat and the food they serve their kids. When parents go to the store and purchase food for their children, they have a right to know what they're feeding them. GMO labeling exists in 64 other countries in this world. There's no reason it can't exist here. And that is one statement that he has made that he is completely accurate about, and I agree with him on. There's no reason that we should be letting Monsanto dictate this. If they want to do GMO foods, if they want to spray it with glyphosate, there's not a whole lot we can continue to do to force them to stop from a civilian standpoint without getting laws passed. But doggone it, we need to know what's in our food, and I want it labeled. So I'm really glad this thing got turned down this week. I really hope there's nothing else in the pipeline. I'm sure they'll try something here in the near future, but definitely for the time being, this is a pretty strong victory for the anti-GMO crowd.
No, you're right. See, the thing that we understand, Austin, especially me, you know, with my biochemical genetics background from Florida State, I understand what this does to our DNA from an epigenetic standpoint. But see, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to change our DNA. They're trying to make us less human. That's the goal of all of this. By the third generation on GMOs, this whole country will be completely sterile. And the only people who'll be coming into the country who'll be able to reproduce will be the illegal immigrants, probably from the Middle Eastern areas. I mean, they're trying to bring in a one-world dictatorship with a one-world melting pot of everybody and everywhere in the United States. I mean, right now there's tens of thousands of Muslims being brought into Texas alone. But the government says that they bring 100 in a year. It's tens of thousands a year. So the sad part about this is this entire country now is being overwhelmed with hundreds of thousands, if not millions of Muslims right now in the United States. And the sad thing about this is that the government continues to lie because, remember, the prostitute media are owned by the Goldman Sachs boys. So what this has turned into here is a vote for Donald Trump or a vote for Goldman Sachs. That's what this is. In fact, that's what Snowden said on one of his latest tweets. He said this is a vote for Trump or for Goldman Sachs. Remember, Ted Cruz is owned by Goldman Sachs. He has $1 million loan with them. His wife is an employee of Goldman Sachs. I believe she stepped down for this campaign. But the problem is this. All of this obfuscation they do all the time is brought to us by the Sabbatine Frankist Cabalists all the way from the 16th century, 17th centuries, when they brought the Rothschild banking cartel into this satanic league they put together. And these are the ones who are running the United States. They're trying to put a full-blown witch into the White House now. a full-blown level four witch, and I'm sure she'll be doing her satanic seances. Obama already has his gay parties, according to Jim Willie of the White House. And so now we'll be having the complete witchcraft going on in the White House, if it's not already going on. So it's absolutely nuts what they're doing and what they're talking about here. Here's an interesting article here. A CNN reporter, Poppy Harlow, she invited a Kasich supporter and Ohio GOP chairman, Matt Borges, to discuss the race. But what she did is she started talking about how Trump brought up all of this stuff about President Obama, saying that he was talking about where he was born, his citizenship, and why everybody just stood by the GOP. And this guy quickly corrected her and said, wait a minute, we didn't bring this stuff from the GOP. This was in the primaries for the Democratic nomination. You guys, Hillary Clinton brought these facts up that Barack Obama was a Kenyan. He brought up these facts about Barack Obama. We didn't bring any of this stuff about Obama. Your own party did through Hillary Clinton. And the CNN anchor, Austin, absolutely did not know what to say, because Hillary Clinton doesn't care. She wanted to be witch in charge, you know, 4 years ago, and now basically she's going to continue to try to be witch in charge no matter what. I mean, this is just absolutely nuts when you really think about this. What's your next story, Oz?
Oh, this is interesting. This was a survey done in the U.K., where they asked young British teens, basically ages 18 to 25, they surveyed almost 3,000 of them and asked them the five most important things that ensured their overall quality of life. This is sad. They 69% of them said that they picked internet connection as an essential daily aspect of life, and only 64% chose daylight as far as on their scale, as far as what was at the top, and then 57 selected hot water. And which, I mean, that's an aspect. Water and daylight are pretty accurate on there, but 69% of them chose number one out of their top five things they had to have was internet connection. And it's quite sad now, because again, I've brought this up so many times, and I'll reiterate this again, is that people have to stop living in their phones and living in their computers and living in their iPads all the time with their fake friends and their fake popularity and all this stuff. It's complete and total nonsense. The fact that we had 69% of the kids out of this survey chose their number one thing they had to have for quality of life was internet connection is, I mean, quite frankly, I mean, it's a joke. That's a joke. Are you kidding me right now? That's your primary goal, is that you have to have internet? I mean, everybody's so stuck in their phones all the time on Instagram and Snapchat and Facebook and all these other things they come out with that I don't even know of anymore, that, I mean, people have to wake up and realize there's other things going on in reality and the real thing that's going on right here. But see, this is the globalist agenda. This is why they're trying to bring everybody into the entire AI system. That's why they're trying to get everybody into a system. That's why they built a massive facility out in Utah. The more people get into this, the more people are completely consumed with their iPhones all day and live in an internet iPhone world, the more information, the more time, the more energy they put into all this, and it gives them a better database so they completely sync everything up when the government wants to start putting all these databases together and building a profile on you. So again, I'll tell you this again, stay off your phones as much as possible. Stay off them. If you don't need them, don't use them. If you don't need to look up something, don't look it up. Don't be so obsessed with checking stuff on your phone 24/7 that you're willing to put internet connection over sunlight and water on your primary list of priorities in your life. It's just sad, guys. That's just something I wanted to throw in there today.
You know, it's interesting, Austin, because when I was in college at Florida State, I went 2 years to a local college because my mom was older and I didn't want to leave her, though I had been accepted with my grades into every major university in the state of Florida. But I decided to stay here for 2 years. And after 2 years, I went to Tallahassee in the spring of the fall of 1975. And I was up there in school from 75, 76, 77, 78, 79, and 80 in college at FSU. And I had a little 12-inch black and white TV with a little antenna that came out of it. And my father had visited me for a few weeks back in the fall, in the winter of 77. And he lived there and he bought that little TV set. And before that, I didn't even have a TV up there. And what I did is I just took that little TV when he gave it to me, and I just put it in my closet on the top shelf and folded up the antennas on it. And then whenever we had an FSU game that I couldn't go to because I had something else planned or whatever, or I was busy studying for a final or whatever I was trying to do, I would pull that little TV set out and I'd watch a few minutes of the FSU game. And I was busy living my life than watching TV. I had friends there that had cable TV in their homes, which we never had, you know, back in the 70s, and they would have cable turned on. They would spend like every waking hour of their free time watching TV. I was enjoying college and enjoying life. And I just spoke to a man earlier. He's a general manager of a dealership, car dealership over in Tampa. And he was talking about how the people love working for this particular dealership. And I told him, I said, well, you know what? If you don't like your life, you need to do something else. And that's the point. A lot of people don't like their lives, Austin. And that's why they bring these tablets and these iPhones with them everywhere they go. They're constantly looking at them because they don't like their own reality. It's like people who drink and smoke. People who drink and smoke, they're doing it because they're self-medicating. The cigarettes, the nicotine, give you a really good high, so you self-medicate with nicotine until you get so addicted to it you've got to constantly smoke. Some people even chain smoke. The alcohol is the same way. You're medicating on the alcohol. You're taking like a depressant, a downer, something to make you relax. See, that's what people don't understand. Life that God has given us in abundance is amazing for us on this planet. If we're here, if we speak the right things, pray the right things, think the right things, we can create our own tangible reality by the physical manifestations of the holographic generated system that we're in. But the problem is most people don't understand that. So they're always speaking death and disease and poverty and everything else to themselves, causing all kinds of health problems and financial problems and everything else to themselves. I mean, think about this. I remember David Crank said this one time. He said it on the show when I interviewed him on the Power Hour. He said, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. I can say it this way. Show me what you watch on TV or you watch on the internet or you watch on your iPad or you read on your iPad or your iPhone and I'll show you your future. And the sad part about it is you said something very succinct, Austin. You said a lot of people have all of these imaginary friends on Facebook. I have 9,000 likes, so I've got a lot of friends. No, you don't. You don't even know who the vast majority of those people even are. Friendships and relationships are what matters on this planet and in serving God and obeying His commandments, and that's it. Here's an interesting article I read, and the guy has just adamantly opposed to voting, period. He doesn't want to vote at all. He says that he refuses to vote. He's not going to vote. He said there's all these different things, and I want to cover this with you because I read this, and I thought to myself, you know, he's got a lot of things that he's saying that I actually agree with, but I'm not going to be promoting that because I really believe that Donald Trump is trying to fix a broken system. I really believe he's totally and completely awake and he knows what's going on and he's trying to come in. Otherwise, there's absolutely no excuse, Austin, as to why these guys are so incredibly scared of him. I mean, think about that. I mean, yeah. Why would they be doing this to him, starting riots in his name and everything else if they really liked him and he was doing what they wanted to do? So I want to read this to you real quick, or part of it. I'll cover part of it. It's a very long article. I'm not going to take all of it. But here's what he says. He says, if you can't see there's a massive conspiracy at hand, you're deep in denial, and there's a call for a wake-up. Here's just the tip of the iceberg. The U.S. has unlimited money for wars, but never enough to feed the poor. How's that for priorities? The truth is, we do feed a lot of poor, but the problem is we're spending too much money on wars. That's the fact. The Federal Reserve is a privately owned entity that creates money out of thin air. We've talked about that 100 times already. Big banks fund candidates on both sides. That's true except for Trump. The FBI creates domestic terrorists. Absolutely true. Under the NDAA Act passed by Obama in 2012, an American who is suspected, not even proven, of being a terrorist can be indefinitely detained and tortured. I mean, he's right. Agent provocateurs who often stir up problems with the Department of Homeland Security, they stir up violence and otherwise peaceful protests. That's true. There's a revolving door of the FDA, Big Pharma, and Monsanto. Absolutely true. There's a revolving door with the Fed and big banks. Absolutely true. U.S. citizens have no say as to how our tax dollars are spent. That's true. They'll put a gun to your head if you don't want to pay it. Just 5 companies own all the mainstream media. Do you really think for yourself, or are your opinions sculpted by hidden agendas? If you're listening to this show, you think for yourself. I am not politically correct, nor will I ever be. Corporate lobbyists have essentially conquered democracy. That's because they bribe people. That's how they do it. The two-party system merely gives us an illusion of choice, but it's not. It's tyranny. Every U.S. president except for Martin Van Buren is a direct descendant of King John of England, who signed the Magna Carta in 1215. Can you say bloodline? The CIA funds and arms extremist groups in the Middle East. That's absolutely the truth. The CIA and military-industrial complex stages and allows horrific false flags attacks on the U.S. in order to invade foreign countries. Research, sinking of Lusitania to enter World War I, Pearl Harbor for World War II, Gulf of Tonkin on Vietnam, and for the endless war on terror and the occupation of this, we look at 9/11. In 2015, over 1,000 Americans were killed by police. The number is ridiculous, and that's not even getting into the systematic racism behind those numbers. The U.S. prison population is one of every 110 citizens. One out of every 110. 2.2 million. I mean, it's crazy how we're doing this. At the end of 2015, the U.S. has been at war for 222 out of 239 years in existence. Wow. I mean, I didn't even know that one. Regarding the rigging of the voting process itself, computer programmer has testified under oath that he coded computers to rig elections. Hacking Democracy, you can watch the film on that. Even Diddy abandoned his vote or die movement, saying that the voting is a complete and total scam. So he's realizing that, you know, that's why he says he doesn't vote. Well, number one is they can't hack all of the Diebold machines at once. They don't have that type of ability. There's tens of thousands of polling districts all over the United States. They can't do that. So what they can do is they can take several big areas, like in Miami or in Ohio, you know, Columbus or whatever, and they can hack certain systems. But what they can't do, as far as what I've read, is they can't stop a landslide victory like they had with Reagan, because they would have loved to have stopped Reagan, but they couldn't do it. So we have to realize that you can say what you want to say about all of this stuff, and you can complain about not voting, but we finally have a candidate for the first time since I can remember, since John F. Kennedy and Reagan, those two other candidates, and I don't remember voting for Kennedy because I was too young, but I did vote for Reagan. We finally have a candidate who's willing to bring the whole middle together, has millions of people coming over from the Democratic Party to vote for him, willing to stand toe-to-toe with Hillary Clinton in a debate. That I'm really looking forward to seeing. I am so looking forward to watching that wicked witch get her dues in front of a national audience, because I don't believe she can go toe-to-toe with Trump. I really don't, Austin, because he's not going to play any games with her about Benghazi and pretend like that didn't happen. You know, what difference does it make? Ah, the wicked witch of the West. Are you joking me? People died, you know? It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. So anyhow, all right, we got a broken system. I'm good. Not voting doesn't work. We've got to stand in the aggregate. Now, if you're not an American citizen or you've given up your citizenship and you don't have the right to vote, that's one thing, okay? Just stand and pray for the winner. But the point is, we don't need to step back on this one. This is not that one. I mean, I vote Libertarian almost all the elections. I do, because I've just had enough of the whole system. I do. I vote Libertarian to make a difference. But this time is going to be different. I really believe that if we all vote in the aggregate, I don't think even with all of their hacking of the voting machines and their hanging chads and all the tricks that they've done, they can stop a landslide victory of the United States population if we get 60 or 70 people vote for Trump and it's landslide in all of these states and all of these cities and all of these counties. Austin, what do you think?
Yeah, there's a lot of libertarians that are already starting to support it now. I know, I think at the beginning of this week, Dr. Donald Miller, he started a new group now that's actually had a massive following. It's called Libertarians for Trump. And he's been getting a ton of support for it, and a lot of people in the libertarian movement are starting to follow him. So yeah, there's definitely a good possibility he's going to start getting a lot of support from all across the board. The thing about it is, we're the biggest thing we're going to have to watch is the media right now is going to do everything they can to smear him from every angle. Like you mentioned at the beginning of the show, we have all these anti-Trump activists now. Listen, guys, this isn't by chance. You guys didn't just decide to come out of the woodwork all of a sudden and start going in an anti-Trump campaign. These guys are funded, paid for, and hired by Soros, as you mentioned earlier. That's exactly what's going on here. And so they're trying to – the whole irony that I love about it is the anti-Trump supporters are coming in with this super violent rhetoric, wearing these T-shirts saying, if you vote for Trump, you get jumped. Yelling, screaming, cussing, cursing, fighting at everybody that's a Trump supporter, ransacking in Chicago and stopping the whole campaign from going on. And they sit there and say, well, Trump incites violence. He incites riots. He's trying to get people to fight. And the funny thing is, they're doing the exact thing they're accusing of Trump and his supporters of doing, except not one single incident have I found of Trump inciting any type of riots, inciting any type of violence, or have I seen any of supporters engage in severe violent behavior. There was one incident that I heard like last week where a Trump supporter punched a guy in the face. The truth about that is you don't know if that individual was another paid provocateur to come in there and do that just so that made him look bad. So that's the irony of it, is they're sitting there accusing this, the entire campaign and Trump's followers, of doing the exact thing they're engaged in, which just goes to show you that there is no accuracy or legitimacy behind these groups. They're simply being paid on what to do and being told what to say. And quite frankly, with as many people that are having financial issues in the United States, I don't think it'd be that difficult to find a lot of these individuals en masse and pay them, you know, 50, 60, 100 bucks a day to go line up and start protesting anti-Trump and do stuff of this sort. I mean, you saw what we had happen in Ferguson and the groups that started with the Black Lives Matter that didn't even care one bit about the shooting, that didn't have any type of viewpoint or standing with any type of legitimate basis. They simply were there to start fights and loot, pillage, rob, burn the entire city down for no legitimate purpose at all. I've never understood that aspect. Something happens, well, let's protest. Well, it's not working good enough, so let's just burn down our city. That's a good idea. Yeah, that makes a lot of rational sense.
Yeah, I covered a lot of this with you before you came on the air with us today. The craziest thing is the guy who threw the punch at that protester was a 78-year-old, like, former military guy who just had enough of the guy's mouth and finally decided he was going to John Wayne it. And so his 78-year-old threw it. How hard could a 78-year-old guy hit somebody? I mean, honestly, unless he was on a testosterone replacement program, you know, worked out with weights every day, he's not going to make any difference. But then what this is, and what they're trying to implement right here, now, guys, stay with me for a second. Now, no one said this else, but I'm going to say this right now. This is another Bolshevik revolution they're trying to brew. That's what this is all about. This is the big precipitating incident they're trying to push together to force to take over the United States government. This is the Bolshevik revolution with Lenin and Trotsky and those boys all over again right now on the United States soil. Remember, they were being paid by the Rothschild banking cartel to pay Lenin and Trotsky and these guys to start this revolution. They paid them millions and millions of dollars in funds in that day, which is a lot of money. That'd be hundreds of millions now, to foment this stuff and start this against the family in Russia who was unwilling to put a Rothschild central bank in. That's what this whole thing boils to. Because remember, the Rothschilds were Jewish, you know, and Trotsky and both Lenin were Jewish, and almost the entire group of people that did all this were Jewish in Russia. See, nobody wants to talk about that because that's not politically correct. But just call it what it is, because they're all sticking together because they're all a bunch of Luciferians because of Sabbatane Levy and Jacob Frank, and they're all sticking together with this whole group of Satanism they've got going on. Now, when I'm talking about these guys were Jewish, it wasn't in religion, it was in birthright. That's how I look at it that way. They weren't practicing Orthodox Jews. They're basically practicing Luciferians. But this is the same thing that's happening now. These same people came to the United States in the 30s and in the 40s, particularly in the 30s and in the 40s when Hitler was running all the Jewish folks out of Russia and out of Germany, and they came over here and started taking over our government. And this is what they've done. They took over Hollywood, these extreme communists. They were trying to take over Germany. And the reason I know a lot of this is because my mom told me what was going on in Germany. And if you read the book Mein Kampf, which I don't really think that's light reading for anybody, or even Hitler's second book, he talks about the Russian Revolution, the Jewish folks who were involved in it, who they were, and why he hated the Jews so much. Now, if you want to know the truth of why he feels the way he does towards them, it's because of the banking, because of what happened with Russia, what happened to the royal family, what they did as far as capitulating for a treaty for the Versailles of World War I. That's what happened. You've got to look at both sides of this history lesson. This is where they were. This is what's going on. Now, this entire conspiracy has gotten much, much, much bigger. You've got the Rockefellers involved in it. You've got the Fords involved in it. You've got the Nazis involved in it. You've got the Bush crime family involved in it. None of these people are Jewish. So what's happened is everybody's been folded in. That's why I always say when I talk about this stuff, it's not a Jewish conspiracy. It was in the beginning with Trotsky and Lenin and those boys. It was. It's just the way it was. It was all funded by the Rothschild banking cartel, but not now. They brought in their entire own Satan groups into this deal, and now they're worshiping their Lord, their Savior, I guess they want to call him, Lucifer. And the sad part about this is that they're trying to drag us into this ditch with them. That's why Russian President Putin said last year in Veterans Today, on the article that I've read you multiple times, the New World Order in the West, the United States, worships Lucifer, Satan. If they want to do that, that's fine with me, but we want no part of this in Russia.
So that's what's going on, guys. What started off with this Bolshevik revolution, they're trying to foam it and start again. These are rent-a-riots. These are rent-a-riots from the far left, from radical leftists who are being paid to riot in Ferguson, being paid to riot now for this Republican National Committee conference that we're going to have. They're going to be paid to riot in front of the Trump conventions. They're going to make as much misery as they can for everybody. So the sad part about it is, and we've all got to stand in the aggregate and pray, the media is on their side. They can blow these riots up into this giant brouhaha, or they can make them absolutely non-eventful, whatever they want to do. The problem is the Rothschild banking cartel owns the media. The Rothschild banking cartel fomented the Bolshevik revolution. The Rothschild banking cartel, through George Soros now, through his global outreach programs he's doing with his little nonprofits he has in the United States, is trying to overthrow the government of the United States of America and not allow Donald Trump to come in. That's what's going on, Austin. Now, you may not believe me, it doesn't make any difference, but they're trying, this is their last, they do not want him in talking about 9/11, talking about the Federal Reserve, talking about vaccines, talking about GMO foods. They don't want any of this stuff being brought up by Donald Trump, about what happened with the 28 redacted pages of 9/11. They don't want him talking about any of this stuff. Donald Trump is a Christian, claims to be a Christian, speaks that he is a Christian. I know one of the pastors who prays with him and talks to him on an ongoing basis, David Crank, down in Palm Beach. And in fact, he'll probably be the one who will probably be praying for Trump whenever Trump's inaugurated to be there for him. I hope he does anyhow. But the point is this. We've got to stand with Jesus Christ now, with the Most High God. We've got to stand in aggregate for what's right in the United States, what was right and how we were founded. We have to stand against this Rothschild banking, Sabbatane, Kabbalist, Frankist, Luciferian, far left agenda that's trying to take over the entire country and trying to take over the entire world right now. This is not of God. This is not what God had in mind when the Adam and Eve thing took place. This is what's been going on since Babylon, with the worshiping of Babylon, all the way back to Nimrod, with the worshiping of Satan and Lucifer, all the way back to Genesis chapter 6. All of this stuff was brought to us care of the fallen angels and Lucifer's minions. That's what's going on. It's still going on. This is a battle for the very hearts and the souls of the human beings still on this planet. And Austin, they would be willing to destroy the entire creation God made to try to force their will on the people on this world. That's my opinion for all of that.
Oh yeah, you're completely accurate on that. There's no question about it. There's I've got an article here, you know, on alternative meat alternatives now. They're becoming more and more popular. You hear a lot of these people that are vegan or vegetarian, they don't want to eat meat anymore, so they go with their tofu or veggie burgers, whatever they want to go with. There's even more. There's another company that came out in 2009 from Ethan Brown. He came up with a company called Beyond Meat, and they started creating a different type of alternative as well. And just understand what these are. A lot of people don't understand if they think, oh, well, it's decent, it's vegetarian. Most of it's garbage. It's usually vegetable byproducts, primarily almost always pea and soy protein. Yep. Mm-hmm. And they almost always use canola oil in it. Canola oil is extremely cheap, and they add it to it to increase the fat intake to make it more of a, you know, taste, appearance, cooking ability. That's what they add to it. And then they mix it. They press it through a machine, goes through a heating and cooling, you know, to form the strips, give it texture, whatever type of meat they're making. And understand, guys, canola oil is one of the most unhealthiest toxic oils out there. It's derived from GMO seeds. Almost all of canola oil you get is derived from GMO seeds. There's no question about it. You can look it up. And they also extract it with chemicals such as hexane. It's very toxic stuff. And what's funny now is Bill Gates is now even investing in these fake toxic meats. He went on to say that the meat industry is responsible for about 14% of human-induced greenhouse gas emissions. And according to the World Watch Institute, our demand for meat has tripled in the last 40 years. Now, we've discussed Bill Gates and his globalist agenda all the time. Remember back in 2010, he pretty much came out and said vaccines and sterilization are the answer to controlling population. He said, and I quote, "If we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower the growing world population by perhaps 10 to 15%." Those are his words. So he is a full blown globalist eugenics. That's it. You can be completely satisfied with that. So when he starts investing in fake meat alternatives and you see him start pumping money into this, you can be rest assured it has nothing positive for society. But I wanted to address that because I've had a lot of people ask me that in emails, and I appreciate you guys bringing up topics and asking me stuff you want us to talk about on the show. You can email me at healthmasters.com. You can go to our contact form. You can just type in the word contact into the search bar at the top, and we have our Health Masters contact form. If you guys have information that we don't have on our website or you have questions that are on our website, email us, ask us. We're usually pretty good about responding. And a lot of times, if I get multiple of them, I'll address them on the show like this regarding the fake meats and the veggie burgers and all the stuff. And I'm not saying 100% of the veggie burgers are bad, because I've seen some stuff that they've made that is fairly decent, but 97 to 98% of this meat alternative stuff is garbage, and it's almost always soy and canola oil all the time from what I've seen. Do you have anything you want to elaborate on that, Dev?
Absolutely. Canola oil is from the rapeseed plant, which is a noxious, poisonous weed. It was put together by the Canadian Oil Company and marketed as a health variety of food. It's better to use. It's also used in paints and shellacs and varnishes. It's one of the most poisonous oils you can put in your body. They actually have to change it genetically so you don't die from it. It's unbelievably bad for you. It can cause blindness. It's just horrible. It's a horror. It's like for heaven's sake, it's like putting, you know, WD-40 on your food. It's just bad. You don't want to do it. So I always tell folks, don't ever. There are several things you can look at on a number one or label. Vitamin E is derived from soy. Sometimes that's okay to use for that particular, because it's no longer a phytoestrogen. But other than that, soy needs to be avoided. You don't want any soy in anything that you're eating. Soy needs to be out of everything. Trans fats, hydrogenated oils need to be out of everything, and canola oil has to be out of everything. When you take the canola oil, the trans fats, and the soy out of processed and packaged foods, you will literally wipe out 70 to 80% of all packaged and processed foods. It's that prevalent. Even when you go to a health food store, you have to look at labels to find stuff that does not contain canola oil, because they completely lied to the people in the United States about that. Plus, soy being a phytoestrogen, what it does, it emasculates you as a guy, drops your testosterone down, elevates your doggone estrogen, it can give you gynecomastia, which is enlargement of breast tissue, turn you into a soy boy or a metro boy, and feminize you. That's the biggest problem I have with soy. And also the problem with canola oil, and also the trans fats, they cause heart disease and cancer. So those three things, and sodium nitrite. Sodium nitrite is used in luncheon meats. People are always asking me, what's your list of don't do things? Sodium nitrite needs to be completely eliminated out of your diet. Remember, I put together years ago the top 10 list of foods never to eat. And those four items are on that top 10 list, along with the high-fat luncheon meats, including bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni, hot dogs, and pork. The aspartame to diet sodas that have now been linked to brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, and headaches. And also optic nerve degradation and blindness. And now we've got sucralose being linked to leukemia. You know, we've got all of these things we've been telling you guys for 30 years not to put into your bodies, and not everything we were telling you has come to pass. I know Austin is having an organic baby. Austin was an organic baby. All of our other kids were organic babies. Organic supplements, organic goat's milk, organic, everything else we can do for them. See, that's what you've got to do. If you want to have a healthy child, you've got to get away from the GMO stuff. Here's an interesting article in Brazil. And by the way, all of this stuff is on my website, healthmasters.com. You can go to the website and you can sign up for a free newsletter. 3.6 million people are now revolting in Brazil. This is what the leftists are trying to do in the United States. They're trying to put millions and millions of people on the street with these renter riots with Soros. Let me read this article. This is from Alexandra Bruce, who's a brilliant, brilliant author. And she also lives a lot in Brazil. She speaks Portuguese, and so she knows what's going on down there. So I'm going to read part of this article from her. She has Forbidden Knowledge TV. Millions of Brazilians have taken to the streets around that country to demand the resignation or the impeachment of their current president. Rousseff, the president, was the country's secretary of energy at the time and must have known all about it. He goes on to say, the investigation are on exponents of the World's Workers' Party, which is able to get through. And so what she's saying now is they're so tired of what's going on in Brazil that they are literally rioting in the streets by 3.6 million now. And she goes, if only Americans had the ability to do this, which has double the population of Brazil, to get rid of these international bankers, there's probably more people in the U.S. who feel similarly about our own political class, the emperors of chaos, who daily sponsor needless changes in the Middle East and carnage in the Middle East. The lives of people in the West become incrementally less secure with every unjust, bloodthirsty act committed by ISIS,
who have been fully financed, trained, equipped, and maintained by the U.S. and NATO, and has already been proven over and over and is plainly seen. And so this is crazy. Says the brilliant people are standing up and taking to the streets. America is probably just as annoyed, but instead we vote for protest candidates. And so this is the thing we're talking about. So she's saying that we've got to realize that we've got to do something in the United States to show the masses that of the media and the masses in the government that we're not going to put up with this anymore. See, this is what we've got to do. We've got to stand with a person like Donald Trump and say, we're not doing this thing. See, we're not really, all of us aren't really voting for Donald Trump. We're voting against what's out there. We're voting against the status quo. We're voting against Hillary. We're voting against Bernie. We're voting against Kasich, the man who has never seen a global treaty he doesn't love. Or Ted Cruz, who basically is so hated in the U.S. Senate that Bob Dole even said he didn't like him. I mean, this guy's bad news. Nobody wants to work with Ted Cruz, and he wants to be president. So we got these, we got this weird cast of characters like Bubble Boy Marco Rubio, and we got one guy who's out there saying, you know what, guys? I don't want to play this game anymore. And no, I'm not going to be politically correct. And yes, if I offend you, I'm going to go ahead and offend you because we're going to change this country and we're going to make America great again. That's what we need to do. Riding in the streets and burning up things and burning down your houses and burning down businesses and shooting and hurting people doesn't get it done. All it's going to do is call the National Guard and have Obama declare a state of national emergency, Austin, and basically suspend the Constitution. And that's probably what they want. That's probably what these leftists want who want to implement this Bolshevik revolution in the United States. They probably want to implement some type of communist infrastructure and take everybody's stuff away from them, which is what Bernie Sanders has been advocating for a long, long time. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And there's one thing I wanted to ask you on the last, we were on the health topic earlier. I also have gotten this question numerous times, and I've answered it before, but I wanted to see, you know, as far as if you could address it a little bit more, is non-GMO soy lecithin, especially in certain foods or protein powders? A lot of times people have seen that, and they've asked me about that as well.
That's not as bad because there's only tiny, tiny amounts of it. They're not making the entire protein powder out of the soy. That's okay in small amounts, but I wouldn't do a whole lot of that. I just don't like soy in general, but the vitamin E component is not going to be the problem. I'd probably try to avoid the rest of it as much as possible also, but a little bit of that's really not going to hurt you, Austin, because lecithin is really good for the brain, and most of the time that stuff is so processed, the phytoestrogen component of that has been completely destroyed. Here's another interesting article. Gold medalist, I think she was in her early 30s, she died. Her name's 33 years old. An Australian London Olympics medalist rower, Sharon Tate, has died with a battle after cervical cancer. She was 33. And the thing about it is, she took the Gardasil shot. And now they're saying that they believe that she actually got cervical cancer from the Gardasil shot. That's what they're speculating in this article with a big question mark. I mean, think about that, guys. Is the very shot that you're giving these girls to protect them going to cause the same problem you're trying to avoid? How many of these girls are going to go into premature menopause and their ovaries are going to quit functioning when they're 18, 19, 20 years old and never really have children? Donald Trump is against these mandatory vaccinations like this with the kind of shot schedule they're using. Bill Gates is for it. Austin read you his exact quote. They want to use these shots to reduce the population of the planet. 100 million people are born on the planet every single year, almost all of them in third world countries. And so they want to reduce the population of the United States and every place else because they're trying to, you know, reduce the population on the planet. The sad part about it is, why don't they put their efforts to these third world countries in more earnest to try to help these people who can't even feed themselves? And if it wasn't for UNICEF and a lot of the other companies out there providing them food, they would all starve to death. So the truth is this, guys, we can't feed the entire planet and then complain that they're reproducing. I'm going to say that again. We can't feed the entire planet and then claim that they're reproducing and complain about it. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, what do you think they're going to do when we feed them and we give them limited amounts of food? The only thing they want to do then is just, you know, lay around and they don't have to work, have sex, and have babies. And that's what they're doing. That's one of the reasons we've got such a massive population explosion in the United States, and not in the United States, but globally right now. What's your next story, Oz?
This is interesting on sodas. You know, we've addressed it many a times in sodas and how bad they are. And it's interesting. Lan and I have a friend of ours. We have a few good friends. I would say, you know, probably around a dozen or so that we hang out with. like Dad said before, you know, having real friends, having real relationships outside of Facebook and stuff is actually really nice. Being able to hang out with people, see them face to face, interact. That's what relationships are all about, not this Facebook-like stuff. But anyways, I digress. She was hooked on Mountain Dew all the time, always Mountain Dew. Had at least 2 to 3 bottles, you know, the 20-ounce bottles of Mountain Dew every single day. And she started complaining after a while. She was usually pretty lean, and she started complaining last year. She was up, you know, like 10 or 15 pounds. And I'd give her a hard time every time. I'm like, did you get off the Mountain Dew, you know, toxic soda yet? She kind of laughed, like, no, I'm still drinking it. And I told her, so you cut out Mountain Dew. I said, it's going to make you fat. I said, I don't care what anybody says, it's going to make you fat. I know. Well, finally, we talked to her a couple weeks ago, and she was all excited, you know, because I'm pretty much the main fitness person in our group. I mean, we have a lot of other people in our group that we hang out with that are health conscious and stuff, but I mean, as you guys know, you've probably seen on the website, I mean, I train all the time, I eat super clean. So a lot of people, you know, are always asking me about stuff, and she's like, hey, I'm down like 11 pounds in the last month and a half. I'm like, wow, that's very solid. I could tell she was already looking leaner. So what'd you do? She's like, well, I haven't really done anything. She's like, all I did was cut the Mountain Dew out, and I replaced it with water. I said, that's it? She goes, yeah. She goes, I've been doing a little bit of cardio like 3 or 4 days a week. And I started laughing. I said, I told you it's not that difficult. I said, the calories from the sodas are so high, and they're so empty. And the soda addiction is not a joke, guys. It's a very serious problem. They have so many different chemicals they add to them now, especially with the sugar-free ones and the phosphoric acid and the high-fructose corn syrup. They're super addictive. Dr. Judith Valentine is a Ph.D., wrote an article, detailed article, entitled Soft Drinks, America's Other Drinking Problem. And she had a couple quotes in here I wanted to point out because she had a really good article in this thing. If you ever want to get a chance to read it, she said, huge increases in soft drink consumption have not happened by chance. They are due to intense marketing efforts by soft drink corporations. She said, since the 1960s, the industry has increased the single serving size from a standard 6.5-ounce bottle to a 20-ounce bottle. Do you guys remember that? The old Coca-Cola back in the day, they were between 6 to 8-ounce bottles. That's all they had back then. Now they're 20-ounce bottles, the standard one you see at the stores. And now at movie theaters and 7-Elevens, I know you guys have seen them, the most popular size now is the 64-ounce double gulp. Now, according to the National Soft Drink Association, consumption of soft drinks is now over 7,200 ounces per person per year. Young males ages 12 to 29 are the biggest consumers at over 160 gallons of soda per person. Now, that's their average as far as people that drink soda. I don't drink soda, so obviously don't fall in this category, neither does Dad. But 160 gallons of soda a year. It's almost 2 quarts of soda a day, almost 0.5 gallon a day. At these levels, the calories from soft drinks contribute to more than 10% of your total daily caloric intake. Soft drink companies spend billions on advertising. Much of these marketing efforts are aimed directly at children through playgrounds, toys, cartoons, movies, videos, charities, amusement parks, and schools. And that's one thing she pointed out here. Have you ever noticed your kid's school has way more soda machines than yours did when you were a kid? Or even a lot of places you go, there's always a soda machine. Like everywhere you turn around, there's a soda machine now. She said, we as practitioners and advocates of a healthy lifestyle recognize that consuming even of as little as 1 to 2 sodas per day, like I mentioned my friend earlier, is undeniably connected to a massive amount of issues. The most common health risks are obesity, diabetes, and blood sugar disorders. But also, too, we see a large amount of tooth decay, osteoporosis, bone fractures, nutritional deficiencies, heart disease, food addictions, eating disorders, neurotransmitter dysfunction from chemical sweeteners, and neurological and adrenal disorders from excessive caffeine. And she said one thing, good idea that has come from the Philippines, a country where malnutrition is a serious health threat. They recently devised a plan where they would allow citizens to cash in on the country's junk food diet by taxing every liter of carbonated soft drink sold. If the U.S. taxed soft drink sales, the new income stream generated could be then distributed to different school budgets or other places that we need funds. It is not a better idea than forcing our schools to sell their souls to soft drink companies under the titanic sink of fiscal integration. And what's interesting is I like this article, and what she says on that is because, think about it, we already have alcohol tax, we already have tobacco tax, we already have all these different taxes, especially on toxic compounds that we put in our body. Why don't we have a soda tax? If you start taxing sodas $2, $3, $4 a bottle like this, and bottled water is still cheaper, water filtration systems like our WaterWise unit at healthmasters.com is $399, you know, all of a sudden 100 bottles of soda would cost as much as one giant WaterWise distiller unit, people would start thinking twice about spending all this money on here. So that's one thing I have thought about, and I probably will write into our local legislation. And I think I've heard about this before, but it's never gone through. But I think it would definitely be something that would significantly decrease soda sales.
Well, I wouldn't doubt that that could be done. They're called sin taxes, Austin. You never heard that term. That's what they used to call the alcohol taxes and the cigarette taxes. They're called sin taxes.
Okay.
And they might as well go ahead and be a sin tax on sodas. I agree with that. Also, what happens when you have the high fructose corn syrup, it turns off the mechanism in the brain that tells you that you're full, and it turns on the mechanism in your brain that says that you're ravenously hungry. So when you have a soda, you end up in a situation because of the high fructose corn syrup that you just want to eat, 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 and you never get full. And that's why so many people get obese. I'll never forget, oh gosh, it must be 10 years ago now. I had a lady who was cutting my hair downtown Auburndale where we live, and I'll never forget, she was real pretty. She was one like Miss Auburndale, you know, about 3 or 4 years earlier, and her husband had been sent out to Iraq and was basically fighting over there in the Middle East, and she started just hammering sodas every day. I mean, the full-blown sodas, right? And I watched her. I was there for about a year and a half getting my hair cut, and I watched her gain almost 150 pounds. I've never seen anybody gain that much weight that fast. And then her husband comes back from Iraq after he gets his tour of duty, and here he had left, you know, Miss Auburndale, and then comes back to Miss 350-pounder, and he ends up divorcing her. Just, you know, I don't know if that was the major cause. He's probably going to be PTSD, post-traumatic stress syndrome also. But the crazy thing was she completely ruined her looks because she gained so much weight because of the sodas. And every time I'd go in there, she'd have one of those big old 64-ounce ones like you were talking about. That's all she was drinking all day long. And I kept telling her, it's going to make you gain more weight. You're going to gain more weight. She goes, oh, I know, I'm going up. And finally I said, you really gained a lot of weight. And she goes, well, I know, but I just love my sodas. And I'm like, okay, just keep on going. We'll see how that works out when your husband gets home. And it was awful. I feel bad for her. I forgot her name. It's been so many years ago. But it's sad that people allow themselves to do that. Because remember, you say, well, I've only gained a pound this month. It's no big deal. All right, here's why I get on the scales every day. Every single day I get on the scales when I get out of bed. I use the bathroom, I get on the scales, and I log my weight in. I want to know exactly what I weigh every single day. It's just a habit. It's like brushing my teeth. And the reason I do it is this. I've watched too many people gain a pound a month. You say, well, no big deal. It's only 10, 12 pounds a year. Who cares? Who cares? No big deal. Well, after 10 years, it's a big deal. Now you've gained 120 pounds. You know, after 20 years, you gained 240 pounds. Now you're walking around at 400 pounds. You had no idea how that happened. It's easy to lose 1 or 2 pounds if you notice on the scale you've gone up a little bit. It's easy. You don't watch it, and you go up 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds. Suddenly, it's not that easy. I've got another person who's a friend of mine here in Central Florida. He used to be a bodybuilder. He used to work out with me way back in the 70s. Now he's being in great shape. He's 400 pounds now. He's huge. He's huge. Health is horrible. Diabetes, all kinds of health problems, mental problems, eye problems, everything problems. Sad part about it is, won't stop drinking the sodas. He was so addicted to aspartame, he started going blind in his left eye. And they told him that it was because of aspartame poisoning he was going blind before he stopped drinking it. He refused to stop drinking it. Finally, he stopped drinking it. And then he wanted me to pray for him, which I did, to try to have his eyesight restored. And the sad part about this is, guys, don't do that to the good Lord. Don't do everything you possibly can to destroy your health and beg God to heal you. Why don't you just take some preventive measures to start with, and not, like, maybe you shouldn't step out in front of a semi-truck and wonder if it's God's will for you to get smashed or not. I mean, that's kind of nonsense, but there are people who believe that. It's called providentialism. And I did that show with Joyce Riley the last time I was on the Power Hour. I think it was the last show I did with Joyce because I talked about providentialism. I think I got a little bit too spiritual for that show. But I love Joyce. She's a great lady. I loved doing my 6 months on the Power Hour. It was a lot of fun. But the reality is this. Don't test God. Don't do everything you know you're not supposed to do and wonder why you get sick and then ask God to take care of it and to heal you. He may or may not heal you. Because, you know, I've seen that both ways. So just remember. Eat right, eat clean, drink purified water. I recommend distilled water, so does Austin. You know, sign up for our healthmasters.com newsletter, and learn that there's natural things you can do. Here's another interesting article. Russia can make powerful Syria military comeback in hours, according to Putin. Reuters. Vladimir Putin said on Thursday that Russia could scale up its military presence in Syria again within hours and could still bomb terrorists there despite a partial drawdown of forces ordered after military successes. Speaking in one of the Kremlin's grandest halls 3 days after he ordered the Russian troops to partially withdraw from Syria, the Russian leader said the smaller strike force he had left behind was big enough to help forces loyal to President Assad from advancing. Now here's the inside scoop of what happened. They agreed with Russia to allow the oil prices to go back up between $40 to $45 a barrel. That'll keep Russia solvent as far as making money on oil. They've agreed to probably putting that pipeline in from Qatar. I don't know that one for sure. I guarantee you there was a pipeline in discussion. There's no way that this thing's being spooled back down in Syria because of Russia's involvement in this. Some concessions had to have been made in this, and I know now the oil prices are going to be going back up to over $40 a barrel. Saudi Arabia and everybody else has agreed to cut production because right now the actual cost for oil should be about $12 to $15 a barrel, and it has stopped falling. And fuel prices, if you notice, guys, are going back up again. But here's one thing I want to share with you that most people don't know. Gasoline is a byproduct of the petrochemical industry in the production of plastics, chemicals, makeups, cosmetics, pesticides, all of this stuff. It's almost something they used to actually discard it and throw it away because they didn't know what to do with it. It literally, on a barrel of oil, they literally make $400 or $500 a barrel minimum is what they're going to make on the barrel of oil, even if they pay $20 or $50 or $100 a gallon a barrel for it. It's a huge profitable center because of all the Teflons and pesticides and all the things that are political that are being used for petrochemical products, including drugs and everything else. So that's the thing that people don't understand. The oil prices is completely irrelevant for the gasoline prices. They could literally give us the gasoline, but they choose not to do that because they want to maximize their profits in every area of every part of the production. And most people don't know that. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, well, and also I was going to say tires, too, are a huge aspect. There's so many things that are made out of oil, and that's what's interesting, too, is it's always irritated the hound out of me for the last decade. The diesel prices, because I drive a diesel truck, and the diesel prices were up to a point a while back ago, 60, 70 cents more a gallon than regular gas, which is ridiculous because diesel production takes less refinement and actually less energy, less money to make than regular gasoline, yet they were charging 60, 70 cents more a gallon, which just showed you again how they were trying to suppress the economy intentionally, because what is one of the main uses of diesel fuel in the United States? Truck driving. All across the country. Diesel, truck, semi-trucks. It'll be rare if you ever find a semi-truck that's a gas engine. Very difficult because of the fuel mileage and the efficiency. So that's one thing that I've seen before. And the other day, I finally, for the
we're almost out of time, buddy. Guys,
we are out of time. But thank you guys for everything. Go check us out at healthmasters.com. If you have any questions, email us there. You guys have a blessed weekend, and we'll talk to you guys on Monday.
We love you guys. We appreciate you guys, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. And I'll be talking to you on Sunday night. Thank you so much. We'll be back with you on Sunday night. Remember, next Sunday, so Thursday night, Coast to Coast Live. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded.